Welcome to another dimension. A dimension of insight. A dimension of understanding. You are entering a place where reality collides with truth. There are no limits. There are no boundaries. This is Off Planet Radio.
Welcome to Off Planet Radio. My name is Randy Moggins, and today we're going to talk once again about a subject that recurs on this show very frequently because it's a subject that actually is the reason why I do these shows. We're going to talk about alien abduction. We're going to talk about what goes on in the skies, what goes on in the ground, and what goes on behind the walls of the Black Ops government. My guest is from Canada. Her book is entitled The Collectors, A Canadian UFO Experience. It details her experiences over decades as a childhood generational abductee and details many of the incidences that she's experienced along with a great deal of documentation. My guest is Karina Sables, and Karina, I welcome you to the show.
Oh, hi, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for coming
Good.
On.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
First off, you've got a website, and this is the website where people can also get the book as well. Why don't you tell them about your website?
The website is, if you want to go to it, is thecollectorsonline.com, and this includes a few other people. Ronnie McMullen is on there, and there's Whitley Strieber's website as well, and Linda Moulton Howe is on there. And so on. And there's also a blog where people can leave their comments or, you know, call in, and they can email or call in, and they can leave their own stories and see what, you know, if they need to find out who's out there to help them in any way, shape, or form, then those kinds of information will be available there.
Yeah, I was really surprised when I looked at your website, and I don't know how I missed this, that the resources you have there for people who believe that they've experienced any kind of contact, actually. I think what we're talking about in your case is very extreme. You have one of the most startling testimonies I've ever seen as far as collecting information over a very long period of time, both anecdotal and, quite frankly, a fair amount of hard evidence. Maybe where we start here, Karina, is let's go to the beginning, your earliest experiences, and maybe connect that forward into the narrative as we go along.
Sure. Well, for myself, my experiences began between the ages of 4 and 5 years old. You know, it would begin with first recollection is having this bright bluish-white light that would come through my bedroom window at night, and all of a sudden seeing this very scary face in the window. And then all of a sudden, after I'd pulled the blankets up over my little eyes, and then I would pull down to look again, this face now had a body and was standing in my bedroom. And, you know, the next day I would try and tell my parents about it. My dad was so funny because he would always come back with the same thing. It was, well, you know, you're just having a nightmare, honey. Don't worry about it. It's just a bad dream. It will go away. And then the next time he would say, oh, it's probably just a wildcat or something from the forest behind our place. And I would always come back, yeah, but Daddy, the kitty had no ears. He didn't have any fur, and he had these big, huge black eyes. So, you know, I didn't realize what these grays were until I was much, much older. I was in my 30s when I finally realized and understood what was going on, what had been happening to me all my life.
You know, it's interesting because you and I are probably very close in age. That particular era, that period, and we're, you know, we've got a 60-year legacy of abductions, at least in, you know, North America, that are fairly well documented. But in that period of time, the early, what I would call Generation 1 of abductees as we know them, there was no information. I mean, we had science fiction in that era, which as a young boy I was kind of fascinated with. But the only coverage we really had in those days were tabloid papers, which used it as sensationalism and, quite frankly, mockingly, to sell newspapers. None of us had a language to put to any of this, which I think now is an interesting contrast, because thanks to the work that you and so many other pioneers in this field have done, we now have a language. So you, had to use language that you understood as a child.
Well, that's the thing. As a child, it was, you know, we were told, oh, you're having nightmares, you're imagining things, or whatever. There was never somebody who understood or who could explain to us what was going on. My brother was 2 years younger than me, and, you know, we slept in the same bedroom. His crib was in my bedroom, so I saw him go through things. He saw things as he got older, and we just, you know, understood at a very young age, wow, we better just, you know, keep this between ourselves and just talk about it ourselves, because, you know, there was no one else we could talk to or that would believe us. I remember he was 8 years old, so I would have been 10, and we lived back east in Quebec, in Canada. And I don't know, we lived in front of a park, and this was during the day, so probably I would say it was summertime because it was nice and sunny and warm. And we left our place, walked across the road, went to the park. We weren't there like maybe 3-4 minutes, and all of a sudden, both of us felt this strange kind of a humming in our abdomens. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like something we could hear. It was something we could feel.
Right.
And I said to him, I said, what is that? Do you feel that? And he said, yeah. And then he turned and he pointed at a whole bunch of people there, and he said, what's with those people? What are they pointing at? They were pointing up above us. And when we looked up, there was this flying saucer. This circular ship was hovering right above us. And it wasn't, you know, that far up. Like, we could tell the color, we could tell the shape. I mean, it was close enough to see all those things. But there was no sound, no lights, just this weird vibration in our abdomen. Now, this thing left very quickly. And that night, my father came home from work and sat down, and he said, you know, he said, I'm usually a scientific man and don't believe in this and that, but he said, I got to tell you, I saw something today that really freaked me out. And we said, no, we saw something, you know, and then pretty soon we realized that what we had seen had actually taken off, and where my father was working, he was working at it's called Manoir Richelieu, which almost looks like a castle, actually. And VIPs go there and stuff like that. Anyways, this is where he was working as mm-hmm. a chef cook and pastry chef. And what happened is this thing went on top of, like, hovered above that castle, that place where he was working, for 45 minutes. Him, including probably over 100 people, went outside and just stared at this thing. So a lot of people got, you know, photographs and things like that. And my father remembers there was an older man who used to do the filming for that particular place when special people came, like the Queen or things like that. And he actually filmed this thing, and he had a 5-minute video of it.
Wow.
But I tried to contact him, and his wife said he'd passed away, and she doesn't know where all these things are. But, you know, the skeptics are always saying, well, you know, it's funny how when you send away an implant or something to somebody, they don't get it. Or somebody had that filmed, but the man died. I'm sorry, but it's the truth. It's the honest-to-goodness truth. As God is my witness, these things have happened. And, you know, and what can I say? I mean, we do have a lot of different things that prove some of the things that have happened to us. We have a lot of photographs of the burn marks or holes or scratch marks, things that have happened to our bodies that have mm-hmm. been done.
Yeah.
You know, we have pictures of marks on the ground, burnt leaves on the trees from where this thing was hovering. We've got eyewitness reports from different people. So it's not like there isn't proof. I mean, if they want proof, there is proof.
Well, doesn't it strike you as well, Karina, that people living in different parts of the world, just as you and I talked a bit before we went on microphone today, how without ever knowing each other and without knowing others, we corroborate each other's witnesses by the similarity of evidence and experiences and feelings and perceptions that we have?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we all realize one thing is that these beings, these vicious intrusions, don't just affect the physical. They affect us on a mental level, a spiritual level. It's not just the physical. And people have to try and realize that, you know, instead of the ridicule and everything, hopefully we can have more people like, say, you know, like doctors and counselors and things that and ministers that will come forward and help us deal with the other side of it, not just the physical thing, but all of it.
It is getting, in that respect, it's gotten a little better, and I owe some of that to the internet. Largely, it's connected so many vast numbers of people that we now do have the means to share and collect evidence a little bit more. But back in the late 1950s, the 1960s, and the 1970s, there was literally no means to do that. So I guess for the most part, people like us kind of dangled out there, doubting our own sanity and doubting what we saw with our eyes and ears. I guess we're better off today than we were then, but we still have the skeptics. We still have those who are actively suppressing evidence. We have a massive military cover-up that goes international. It's not the United States or Canada.
Oh, yeah.
It's global, and I want to talk to you about that more as we go on. I want to redirect a little bit, and maybe you can share with us what you recall of what you would call your first abduction, where you have some memories about what occurred.
Well, the first one that I remember like that vividly, very strongly in my mind, I was probably only about 7 or 8 years old, and I remember being taken inside what I now understand was probably a UFO, a ship, but it was a very large round room. And, you know, at first when I was little, I thought I was in a hospital or something because I still had my nightie on, but I was laid on a very cold stainless steel table, what looked like a stainless steel table. There was no pillow, no blanket, no sheets, nothing. I was just laid on that thing. I remember being very cold and being very terrified. And, you know, crying for my mom. And the next thing I know is along this rounded circular wall was like this shelf that came out from there. And then all of a sudden, next thing I remember is this very strange, scary-looking baby laying there. And it had a very large head and large eyes, very thin, skinny, scrawny little body. And it looked like it was dying. It looked so lethargic. I thought, oh, my God, what's wrong with this baby? But it scared me at the same time. So I had mixed emotions there. I wanted to help this baby and pick it up, but I was too afraid because of the way that he looked. And then next thing I know, it was like something tall with a white gown or something walked past me, and then that was it. I don't remember much about that. But also, you know, being at different times in big rooms like that. I remember one time being in this room where, my goodness, there must have been over 100 fetuses in what looked like tanks of this special liquid or something that were in there. And you could tell that they were alive, but they were young fetuses. They didn't look like quite fully formed babies yet.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. There's been other times where I was in a place, but it definitely was not a ship. It looked like an underground kind of facility. It was massive. I remember hearing, I believe, what could have been like a German accent, somebody speaking like that. There were dark skinned people as well, in military suits, but there was also what I would call lab technicians. They were wearing the white lab coats kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, there was everything. There were Hummers in there, like, you know, trucks and everything. It was huge.
I find it quite remarkable that you must be the third or fourth person I've interviewed, and one of them is very recent. It's talked about the presence of people speaking German. And every time I hear this, I can't help but think of what occurred in the United States after World War II when we assimilated Nazi defectors into our government and formed what became the prototype of the CIA, which was largely created by ex-Nazi. We call them defectors, but I'm not so sure how that worked exactly. But the presence of what I'm going to call German-speaking scientists, these particular scenarios that people experience seems to be another one of these connective links,
mm-hmm.
along with white-coated scientists and the sense that you are in a base somewhere.
I don't know if any of the others told you anything about what they saw in those bases, but I tell you, this particular one time scares me more than anything else I've ever experienced in my life. It was absolutely disgusting, the things I saw in there. I kind of left and went through these doors, and when I walked into that place, I cannot forget what I saw. I still have bad dreams about it, nightmares. They were doing something in this lab, and there were cages there, places where they had mixed animals with human beings and what I believe to be ETs with human beings and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the things I saw were pretty horrific. And I pray to God that it's only a nightmare, that what I saw wasn't real, but it was too real not to be.
I think that to affirm your testimony, I think these are actually ancient arts. There's very old writings that talk about the fallen ones, the Nephilim, who were doing this kind of thing thousands and thousands of years ago. And I'll be very bold and just say that we're in that time again, folks, where these visitations, these beings that have, again, entered the human domain, have attempted to mingle genetics. It goes back to ancient times, and some of the creatures we call griffins and minotaur and all of these different mythological creatures. What we understand about the genetic testing that's been going on, that it's entirely likely that they've done just unbelievable mingling of genetic material across species and across the barriers of even the alien races themselves. So I certainly can affirm that, Karina, what you saw there probably was very real.
Well, the mixing between ETs and us, I have to believe, because I have, you know, some medical proof and documents that show that, you know, in the past I was pregnant, you know, for three and a half months, and then overnight there would be nothing left. The fetus would be gone, everything would be gone, and yet I had not lost a fetus or anything through the night. This was proven with ultrasounds and things like that. So, you know, first of all, I was told by our doctors that I would never be able to get pregnant. I had a slipped uterus and different endometriosis and different things that were going on. They said, you know, it'll be a miracle if you could ever get pregnant. And I got married, and after a few months, all of a sudden, I thought, geez, you know, it feels like I'm pregnant. But it was after a night that I'd had some scary things happen through the night. And they confirmed that I was pregnant. They couldn't believe I was. And next thing I know, 3.5 months later, boom, everything is gone. I even had a pregnancy with my firstborn, who apparently, quote-unquote, was a twin, where there are no twins on either side of our families anywhere mm-hmm. for generations. We checked. But at 3.5 months, one went missing, and, you know, the other survived, and I gave birth to. However, having said that, this is my oldest. He was born 5 weeks premature, and I took him home, and, you know, he was 6 pounds, 1 ounce at birth, and he's massive. Like, he's 6'6" or 6'7" and 450 pounds right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so very big guy and different than the other children. So I don't know what happened there, but I do know that they have hybrids, that they do mix humans with their DNA.
Now, your brother, your younger brother, was also being taken as well during the time that you were experiencing your encounters?
Yes, he was. In fact, it's very strange. We never talked about it for years as we got older. And then recently, we were talking on the phone, and he said, you know, he said, I don't know. He says, I just feel kind of funny lately. He says, I needed to talk to you, and we haven't talked for quite a while. And he seemed very emotional, which he's not usually like that. And as we got talking, eventually I said to him, you know, I got to ask you something. He said, some when we were kids or something like that, I said, did you ever get, do you have a mark on your body anywhere or anything that seems weird to you? Because I said, you know, ever since I've been little, I've got this mark on my leg, on my calf. And I said, it looks like a scoop mark. And I said, I remember waking up with that one day when I was little. And I said, it's never gone away. Like, it's still there. I said, have you got anything like that? And he went very quiet, like for a minute or so. He didn't say anything. And I said, are you still there? And he said, whoa. He said, that's really weird. He said, I have one on my leg right there, too. He says, but he said, I never knew how I got it. Like, I don't know how I got there. So he has the exact same scoop mark in exactly the same spot that I do on my leg.
Do you have the sense that today he's still experiencing, or do you have the sense that maybe they've gone silent with him?
I think more silent with him at this time in his life, or he's not willing to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of fear there with him.
You detail in your book a lot of history, and again, I want to remind the listeners, this book, if you're an experiencer, if you're someone who believes that you've had an experience, or if you're somebody who's doing real research into the ET abduction phenomena, again, I'm not selling the book, I'm just simply telling you that this is probably one of the best compilations of evidence that I've read to date. The collectors, you can get that at Karina's website, and I will put links up with this. In the period of time during your childhood, you experienced a number of traumatic events. One of them, I believe, was the loss of your mother.
Yes, I was almost 8 years old. My mom was about 30 at the time, and my parents had decided to take a well-earned vacation for the first time in many years, and they decided to go. We lived, again, back east, so they went from Quebec down to the U.S. there on the coastline, and they had gotten there, and apparently it was quite warm, and they went back to their room after spending the day at the beach, and went back to their room, and she woke up, well, my father first woke up in the morning, and she had her back facing him, and because it had been so warm, all they had was a sheet laying over them, and he opened his eyes, and when he looked at her back, he thought, oh my God, what happened to her? Because what she had were these, what looked like radiation round burn marks, or almost like as if an octopus had gotten to her back, the suction cups, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So she had this all over her back. And when he touched her, she was very hot. So he knew that she was running some kind of fever or something. So he gently woke her up, and he said, what's going on? Are you not well? And she said, something's wrong. I don't feel right. So right away they got dressed, came back to Canada, and within 3 months, 2 to 3 months, she was dead after that. The doctors were never able to tell my father what exactly she died of. They did say that, and now my mother had absolutely no feelings or anything or knowing about expecting another child. But when they opened her up, they saw that she was just pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
She had a small fetus inside her. That was an absolute surprise to my father as well. And they just said, well, you know, maybe she's got a rare form of cancer or something. We're not sure what those burn marks were on her back, and we're not sure what's going on, but there's nothing we can do. We've done all we can, and that was it. She was gone in no time.
I think and the reason I ask you that, and thank you for sharing it, because I know that many of the things I'm asking you to share are painful, is it your speculation based on that evidence that perhaps this was a generational link to your own experiences?
Absolutely. I think that my mother was definitely involved.
After this period of time, you wound up going to, I believe, Belgium. Is that correct?
Yes, I went back. Well, I was actually born in Belgium, Brussels,
okay.
But I did go back to Europe when my mother died, and I went to stay with my grandparents there while my father arranged for everything and took care of everything, and then he came back and joined us again.
During the time that you were in Belgium, did you continue having experiences?
When I was very little, there were strange, definitely strange occurrences that were going on. I remember specifically one time waking up in the middle of the night and quite dark, and there was something standing at the foot of my bed. And at first, being a small child, I thought, oh my God, there's a ghost at the end of my bed, you know, and freaked out thinking there was a ghost there. Now when I look back at it, it was definitely not a ghost. It was something else. So there were things going on back then as well.
We're going to take a break here, and when we come back on the other side, we're going to continue the conversation and bring it forward a little bit with my guest, Karina Sables, and The Collectors. You can find the book at Karina's website, which is thecollectorsonline.com, and I will put links up for the book and to that website with this show. I'm Randy Moggins. This is Off Planet Radio. We will be right back.
We will be right back after these messages.
Site is thecollectorsonline.com. Her book is called The Collectors. Very interesting terminology, by the way, Karina, calling them the collectors. Give me a little bit of how you came with that descriptive title.
Well, it's first of all, I didn't. Some people call themselves abductees. Some people call themselves contactees.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want this contact. I was abducted, you know, without me saying yes, it's okay. Nobody asked me if I wanted or anything. So to me, they just come, and what I thought is they collect everything from the human body. I remember waking up sometimes and I would have like a chunk of hair missing from my head, like somebody had cut hair, and I thought, geez, are my kids waking up in the middle of the night and playing a trick on me or something? That, no, you know, they were too young, things like that. But you try and explain these weird things away sometimes. And then, you know, I would wake up and I would have, you know, blood in my ear or bleeding from my nose. Or so they come and they collect everything. You know, they've implanted, you know, fetuses inside me. They come and remove them 3 months later. So they come and collect anything they want, whenever they want, without asking us. They just collect everything.
Now, we talk about they, and I know you're pointing specifically here to the entities, whether they're off-planet, extra-dimensional, or whatever. That would be plenty of room for speculation, but there's another layer to this that I wanted to go into with you as well, because in your book, and we've talked about this a little bit as well, we talk about the presence of black helicopters, and there seem to be indicators based on things that you've told me and things that are in the book that there is a presence here of military as well. Can you give me a little bit of insight into what you think is going on with that?
Well, I've always hoped, my wish is to someday meet somebody that can explain to me who or what these black helicopters are. Mm-hmm. All I know is we can go through a night of experiences, and the next day the neighbors and ourselves will have these black helicopters buzzing our place. And I'm talking black, like there is no color to these things, no name, no numbers, even the windows are blacked out.
Right.
And we have no idea who they are, but I know that the children and I, to this day, whenever we hear a helicopter that has a very loud, it has a louder sound, a different sound than the regular helicopter
right,
has.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We feel we get this fear that wells up inside of us, and we have no idea why.
These are helicopters that seem to be able to do pretty uncommon maneuvers as well. They seem to appear and disappear rather quickly when they need to.
Yes, some of them. Some of them will do that, definitely. I remember one in specifically where I'm living, in the area where I live right now, a few years back, where something was taken, removed from me overnight, and I was so sure that they were coming. I had a feeling, because the children and I get this really high-pitched sound in our ears
mm-hmm.
before they come or when they're around, and that's what was happening all night. So I knew they'd be there, and I told one of my neighbors, this young fellow he was a single father with two kids, and our kids used to play together, and I told him, you know, something really weird's going to happen tonight, and tomorrow morning, I think I'm going to need your support, so can you be there? And he said, no problem, what's going on? I said, I can't talk about it yet, but please be there. And he said, no problem. Well, the next morning, there they are, I hear the big sound, my stomach's flat, I'm going, oh yeah, okay, they came and removed something. And I go outside, and all the neighbors are out, and they're going, Karina, are you okay? Like, what's going on? There were three of them. And one in particular was like right above the rooftop of my house. And he was so low, like if the windows hadn't been blacked out, I could have seen who was sitting in there. And my nightie and my hair was flying up in the air. Like, that's how close he was. And to this day, I have no idea who they were, but one took off very quickly. I've never seen a helicopter fly that fast. I don't know how it can do that. It was almost like a dragonfly. And it went over to the U.S., towards where you guys are.
Mm-hmm.
One went west, towards Vancouver area. And the one just hovered above me for like a few minutes, literally. And then this fellow from next door came all the way down the hill and was standing there. And he said, get inside, you know, like, go get dressed. I said, please take me out of here. I have to leave right now. And we left for the day, and this thing just took off, of course, after a couple of minutes. But so, yeah, I don't know who they are, where they come from, but I'm afraid of them.
Now, you very boldly at one point actually went to a local heliport and asked some questions about the potential presence of the black helicopters. Is that correct?
I sure did. something like that was happening with my daughter again. And in that area, and she felt that, you know, something was wrong with her because she'd had different physical, medical things that were going on. And all of a sudden, I get this phone call from her, and she's screaming, she's crying, she's scared. And her boyfriend at the time didn't know any of this stuff that was going on with us. So he was kind of freaked out too, but apparently she phoned and said, there's this black helicopter, Mama, and he came right over the house, and he's in the backyard. Can you hear it? He's in the backyard. And she said, you know, he's almost so low that, you know, he's going to catch the top part of a tree or something. She said, what do I do? What do I do? And I said, you just don't worry. Don't panic. Relax. Go inside. And I said, I will come and see you in a few minutes. Anyways, to make the long story short, I went to this place where they have the helicopters and stuff. I can't remember what they're called. On that side where she lives. And I went in and I said, you know, can you tell me, I said, do you have any black helicopters that fly in this area? And the woman looked at me funny and she kind of laughed. She said, no. She said, we don't have black helicopters. Most of them are orange or they're white and things like that. And I said, well, have you ever heard of black helicopters? She says, the only black helicopters I can think of at this time is possibly military helicopters from the U.S. or something like that. She says, I'm not sure, but she said, as far as I'm concerned, she said, I've never heard of anything like that here. We don't have any black ones here.
So by association, and here in the U.S., they're a little more common. I've seen them, and I've actually had them in the middle of the night over my house as well. And questions are fruitless. I mean, you can call the airports. I mean, mm-hmm. I've asked air traffic controllers, can you not track a helicopter in a local region? And I've been told, mm-hmm. yes, that would show up on our radar. But apparently, yeah. Nobody files flight plans for these things. They're like the chemtrail planes. They come out of nowhere, and then they disappear right. again. And nobody seems to... And I'm beyond being paranoid. I think the number of interviews I've done, the evidence of people like you who I've spoken with and my own experiences are enough to tell me, draw the connections. I don't see anything that negates the connections between black military helicopters, the ongoing bombing of our skies across the U.S., Canada, and around the world, and the presence of the ETs. I think most of this stuff's connected, and I have had people mm-hmm. tell me point blank that it's all connected. Mm-hmm. So for the listener, what you need to do is to process that evidence objectively and listen to the testimony of the people that we have on our website, because I think you'll come to the same conclusion, and together we begin to ask the right questions to the right people, and maybe we don't get answers, but maybe we press the barriers until we keep going, because if somebody like Karina is bold enough to go to an airport and ask questions, I think we need to do the same thing.
Well, I even had neighbors who actually went to the police station in this area and asked them, like, you know, can you explain to us? Do you know what these helicopters would be about? No, there's nothing to say. We don't know anything about black helicopters. Mm-hmm. Like, they were really short and cold and, you mm-hmm. know, matter of fact. And so the neighbors couldn't explain it either. All they knew is that strange things, whenever the children and I, and believe me, we moved a lot. We moved often because we were trying to run away from these things all the time. But no matter where we went, they'd find us. And everywhere we moved, people would say things like, there were comments, geez, ever since you moved in here, you know, weird stuff's happening. Strange lights at night, and we see things in the sky, and what's going on? So it's not something we're imagining. I've never done drugs in my life. I don't drink. You know, I'm not prone to flights of fantasies or whatever people want to call it. Some people have said to us, well, you just want 5 minutes of fame, you this and that. I got news for them. You know, we've got nothing to gain by this. We've lost everything. We've lost friends, family members, our health, jobs. I mean, it goes on and on. So what are people trying to say? I don't know. I don't understand.
Well, anybody that puts themselves out there in this realm is going to be discredited and basically painted as some kind of whack job. And I think you've experienced that. I've experienced it as well. This is the official brainwashing of the populace to keep this from being talked about. This is the greatest story never reported. Mm-hmm. This is the story that the media itself will never touch because they've been shut down. And the few people that do step out and try to do it, are silenced, brainwashed, or killed. And I'm sorry, yeah. but that's the brutal
no, that's
truth
true.
About this.
Yes.
You've had people all around you who have experienced with you many of the, we'll say the side effects of your ongoing abduction scenario. Your experience with people has been in terms of witnessing events. Have they stuck with you? Have they stuck up for you? What has been your experience for the most part?
Well, you know. For instance, when I lived near Vancouver one time, I had a friend visit, an English gentleman in his 50s. At the time, I was probably about 30-something. It's a warm night. We're sitting outside having tea, 10 o'clock at night. It's dark out. No full moon, just stars. We live out in the country. The next thing I know, I'm having this humming in my belly, and I looked at him, and I said, "Do you feel that?" And he said, "Yeah, what is that?" And I knew what it was from childhood. So I looked up, he looks up, and there's this huge boomerang-shaped ship. I mean, it was bigger than the football field. And it was so low that I felt claustrophobic. There was no lights, no sound, but it came very slowly, and boom, it stopped right in line from where we were sitting. Well, he freaked. He went inside. He said, "I can't handle this." He said, I can't deal with this." He said, "You've got to come inside." And I said, "No way." I said, "I'm staying out here. If they stop there, it has to do with me, and I want to know what's going on once and for all." And I thought I stood there for maybe 2 or 3 minutes. That was it. And then I went in. He was totally freaked out, panicked. He said, "Where the hell were you? You've been gone over 45 minutes. I went outside. I looked everywhere. You weren't anywhere around." And I said, "Don't be ridiculous. I was out there." That's one incident. The other one is in 2003. July 31st, a girlfriend had come up from Vancouver up here to Kelowna and said, "You know, let's go out stargazing," because she was going home the next day. To make the long story short, we went out stargazing. We just get out of the vehicle. She's looking up with binoculars. I've got 1.5 million candlelight checking for cougars and bears because they'd had sightings in that area. And she's going, "You know, there's 3 stars in a triangular formation here doing zigzags all over the place." She says, "Stars don't do that. So what is it? What's going on?" And she said, "Wait a minute. It just changed." I said, "What do you mean it changed?" She said, "Well, they all kind of imploded together and came into one. And now it's this neon green thing up there." So right away, I knew something bad was going to happen. I turned on my light, flashed it 40 feet in front of my vehicle, and I know this is hard to believe, but there were 5 sets of eyeballs staring at us. 4 were together, 1 was by himself. Next thing I know, I'm trying to get back into my vehicle, but it's like going in slow motion through quicksand, and I can't seem to get my voice out. I'm trying to yell at her to get back in the vehicle, and all hell broke loose. It was just insane. Now, the next day, apparently that night and the next day, unbeknownst to me, a man, a UFO researcher up north by the name of Brian Bike, contacted or put something in the paper and asked if other people had had sightings that night and so on and so on. Well, over 12 people came up and said, or contacted him and said, "We saw this green object, this beam came down, went back up, and then there was all this stuff going on in the area where my girlfriend and I had had the experience, and we had an hour's missing time with that." Then the next day there were bodily marks and different things. So yes, there's a lot of witnesses. Yes, there's a lot of, you know, marks that are left on our bodies and things like that. Absolutely.
Bring me forward a little bit. When did you finally begin to put the pieces together? When did you begin to connect with people who helped you to make sense of what had been going on for decades with you? Karina.
Only in my mid-30s, that's when things finally kicked in and I understood. I was probably about 34, and until then I had no one to talk to, didn't realize what was going on. I thought I was imagining things, I thought I was crazy, things like that. So until then, I didn't have anyone. But this is how I connected with Ronnie McMullen. After UFOBC, Graham Conway helped me. It was, you know, then there was Brian Vike. And then from there, Ronnie McMullen contacted me from the U.S., told me that he was a minister and that he wanted me to come up and do a talk up there for him regarding, you know, this issue. So So, which I did, and to this day, I'm still very good friends with his, him and his family. They are like family to me. In fact, mm-hmm. he helped me so much emotionally and spiritually. I don't know what I would have done without them. And they still, to this day, help me as much as they can. They're wonderful. I love them very much.
What would you tell someone listening to this show who feels that they've experienced these kind of events and they're trying to process the information? Where do they begin to get their feet on the ground enough to grapple with this? Because it's my experience, and it's the experience of many of the abductees that I've talked to, that they're not even ready to talk about it most of the time. It takes years to process. It takes years to understand. Now, we have, obviously, at least presently, this great platform called the Internet, where it is possible to at least get some verification that what people have gone through has some truth to it. Where does somebody begin, Karina?
Well, the first thing I would tell them is please, please let go of the fear. The fear will paralyze you. And that you are not alone with this. There are thousands, millions of us out there that have experienced these things, and we have to stand up for our children. Our children can't defend themselves. We have to be there to explain to them, to be there to comfort them and point them in the right direction. They can contact people like Ronnie McMullen, yourself, myself, and they can get help that way. And there are a few actual counselors that are coming out now and offering their help to help people deal with some of the things that they've experienced. So they're definitely not alone. And if we all come forward with our stories, we all have a piece of the truth, a piece of that giant puzzle that we are trying to put together to help others in the future. It's not a matter of, are they here? No, we know they're here. Now what do we do about it? Who are they and what are we going to do to stop this? Because I don't know about you, but I don't want them starting anything with my grandchildren. One grandchild's already involved. And, you know, I want to see this stopped if we can do it.
I think it's even bigger than that, because it's very clear that with the silence of the government, the complicity of the military, which may be a black ops side of the military. I don't discredit all military on the basis of the behavior of what I consider to be the black ops side of it. It's very clear to me that in reading history, reading mythology, reading scripture, reading the accounts of people over the decade, that there is an attempt here to intervene with humanity on a level that I would have considered to be monster-like.
I know there is. Yes, I agree with you. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, please, go ahead, dear.
I feel that they are connected and that definitely they have something to do with this, the military and the government, because I've had my phone tapped. All of a sudden I'll be on the phone with somebody, the phone is shut right off, like there's nothing, there's you know. And I've had weird things, like, and there's been witnesses to this. In the middle of the night, up to this beep, 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 like a truck backing up, and I look out and there's this white box looking van, for lack of a better word, phone company thing, and it's got, you know, this little thing on top of it, and it's going around and round, like, what the heck, what is that, you know? So they're definitely involved.
Well, absolutely. It's interesting you bring that up. You don't know my show, you've never heard my show, you've never seen my website.
No.
I have a witness who I just interviewed last month. It was the last show that I did before I went away for a few weeks, who has given testimony to that exact very thing. This witness
really
happens to come out of a government project of MK Ultra.
Wow.
And was part of the Super Warrior Project, and she has recently stepped forward to give her testimony. She gave a parallel testimony to what you just said on the show that we posted on our website on October 9th of this year. So, again, you know, there's all these little, call them synchronicities, I guess, but the commonality of witness and testimony from people who don't know each other, who aren't connected, is, I think, proof in itself of the reality of what we're dealing with. And the level of deception that's going on.
Yes, definitely. You know, there are things that you very rarely probably have heard about or have never heard about. And I kind of want to mention one of the things that's not heard of very often to see if maybe someone else will call into you and give you the same thing, because sure. I'm trying to find others that have experienced this. One of the things that's happened with me before, it's been a couple of times now, I will wake up from a night of quote-unquote nightmares that I remember with them.
Mm-hmm.
The grays are usually the ones that have been dealing with us. And something, it's like something is stuck deep inside my sinus cavity, and like a pea is stuck up there or something, but there isn't. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, you know, I blow my nose, and I have these long, thin, neon blue strings, for lack of a better word, that come out. Now, as soon as they're out, it's almost like as soon as they're out of the body cavity,
they
just disintegrate. They
yeah.
dissolve. They disintegrate. Have you heard of this before?
I have.
You have?
I have, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And I will tell you that there are similar fibers that are being located in samples that have been taken from the atmosphere after chemtrails.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
When you said that, it was very creepy. I've experienced okay. it, and I'm aware of the fact that these fibers have been part of air samples that have been taken as a result of chemtrailing. So, again, there's a commonality between things that I don't think we always connect.
Right. Yeah, I have yet to hear of someone that's experienced that. So thank you for confirming that to me. Now I know I'm not going crazy, because I had witnesses who saw them and then saw them disappear, but they're witnesses that are close to me. So some skeptic could say, well, they're just, you know, saying that because they want to be, you know, they want you to be right or whatever. No. These people saw it and went, wow, something's really happening here.
Yeah, so for listeners out there, if you have a similarity for that, there is an email form on the right-hand side of the website, which I'll give it now, is offplanetradio.com or offplanetradio.net. You can send me an email, and anything that I get back from listeners, Karina, I'll send on to you as well. Let's see if we get some confirmation on this as well.
Wonderful. Thank you yeah. very much. I appreciate it.
Because there's lots of little tiny details in all of this, and the more fine details we get related to people's unique experiences, you may find out your experience isn't so unique, and you may also find a corroboration. And again, this is an affirmation. You know, if you're out there and you're grappling with this, any time that you get a confirmation that, yes, this is real, I understand it's scary, but I also understand that you're that much closer to dealing with something that's very dark and something that the light can come into. It's the truth that sets us free, folks.
That's right.
And that's absolutely where we need to go with this. Gosh, we've covered a lot of ground. Karina, your present status, what is going on? I assume that you are not living a tranquil life of serenity, that you still have ongoing episodes.
There's still definitely ongoing things. There was something not that long ago, which I actually went to a doctor for, and I have a picture of it, and I can send it to you if you wish. It's pretty gross looking, but it's another proof of what can happen. I woke up, I think it was 4:45 in the morning, kind of suddenly, and it's like, oh, you know, pain in the abdomen, on the abdomen. So I looked down, pulled my nightie down, and saw that I had quite a gash, about 7 inches long, I guess, in my lower abdomen, and part of it looked kind of deep, and it was still bleeding, like somebody had taken a knife or a scalpel and actually just cut me. So that was pretty freaky. I waited till the doctor's offices was open. I went in, I had it documented. I had a doctor look at it, and I said, you know, how can that be? That's definitely not like from one of my nails, because number one, I have dry skin, so I had put cream on my hands and put those cotton gloves on, so I know it wasn't me who had done this. And I said, how else can something like that happen? He said, well, you know, it could be. I'm not sure, but he said it could be something like maybe you had a bit of, you know, an infection or something on your skin, and it kind of burst open. I said, no way. I said, you know, that I would have felt that for days. It wouldn't have just, boom, all of a sudden happened, because I'd had a shower the night before, a bath before, and there was nothing there. So how can that happen through the night? So anyways, I had to document it and stuff, and I just put antibiotic cream on it, and it eventually healed. But, you know, that was another thing. And I had heard noises and stuff in the house after I had gone to bed around 1 in the morning, and I just went right out. It's funny. Usually I would get up and check to see what it was, but I was out like a light. Mm-hmm. And then next, but I woke up till 4:45.
Yeah, it's amazing how sleepy you get right before they come, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Last few minutes of the show here. I originally contacted you a few weeks ago, and I actually sent you this email. You didn't know who I was at the time. I was so frustrated with some of the emails I have gotten from people. There's a lot of deception out there, and one of the deceptions right now is the sense that people have that things are changing in the earth, which they are. We are clearly in a time when I think spiritual changes are happening as well as physical changes. One of the great deceptions as I see them is this idea that we are going to be taken off of this planet and rescued by our alien space brothers.
No. Sorry. I'm sorry. It was just instant. Sorry about that.
Is there anything you can tell me about the deception that you understand? Is there something you know or something that you've seen that tells you that there's a plot to deceive humanity into getting on ships with beings?
The first thing that comes to mind is I've had a vision of this. Something's been shown to me that they come here in gigantic ships. In the end, they will be bigger and bigger ships. They're not just small little saucers. What I'm seeing is a desert-like kind of area. It's nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
There's many of them. And there, I see people like almost in a zombie state, like they're hypnotized, and they're all walking into these ships. And people, when I tell them this, you know, that I've said that to people, they say, "Oh, they're here to pick us up before the end, and they're going to help us and take us away." And I said, "No." I said the feeling and the vision was that they're lying to us. They're trying to tell us that they're trying to help us, but in actual fact, it's exactly the opposite. So that's the first thing that came up for me.
I think we can take that from somebody who I know has experienced what you've experienced and has the developed intuition and psychic abilities that come from being around these beings. There is a heightened psychic sense that comes, plus the fact I believe that you're a natural intuitive and psychic as well. I take that as a warning coming from somebody who knows. And again, I'll just assert, I have people on this show with varying opinions about things, varying testimonies. I don't bring people on to beat them up. I let them say what they're going to say. But I have some very strong opinions about this, and I had a sense that you had something that would speak into what I wanted to address. Is basically, we need to get our eyes open. We need to understand what the nature of this is, and we do not trust the being who are trying to lure us to go with them in the hopes that we're going to be saved by alien brothers.
Yes, I agree. And, you know, having said that, I have to be honest in that I'm praying and I'm hoping that, like us human beings, there are good ones, there are bad ones. Okay?
I believe that's
so
true, yes.
This is a vast universe. So there must be some that are benevolent as well as the other kind. But I have yet to meet them. As far as we've had, all we've had is negative experiences. So that's the only place where I can come from right now. Sorry to say, but...
Karina, in the closing minutes here, anything else that you would like to add to what we talked about in this interview? Anything that you'd like to be heard saying?
I'm just hoping my main goal is to help others who have things, who are experiencing things. And any way that I can do that, I will do that. I will keep doing lectures and talks. And, you know, if anyone else asks me again, do you want to do a documentary again? Yes, I do. Do you want to have a film done of your story? Yes, if it's absolutely 100% truth, because I will not lie about anything. I will not make anything look worse than what it was. It's bad enough. I don't need to soup it up. But yes, if I can help anyone, I will keep doing that for the rest of my life.
And I think those are words that you can take away from this interview. If anyone would like to get a hold of Karina, I will put the website and contact information up with this show, and you can contact me as well. We'll close it out with me saying to you, Karina, thank you for coming on. It's very painful to talk about these things, and I appreciate your candor, your bravery, and the great amount of spirituality and faith that you bring to the whole subject, what you've been through, and the character of yourself in bringing this stuff forward is really a strong testimony. We're going to close it out on that. My guest, Karina Sables, the book is The Collectors. Her website is thecollectorsonline.com. You can find more information about this at offplanetradio.com. I'm Randy Moggins. The truth is out there. It's inside you. Keep looking for it. We'll be back with another show very soon.